So I'm like 3 weeks late. You can blame whatever studio was releasing the movie here, but Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is a movie that I have finally seen. I was a huge fan of Ghostbusters Afterlife. Does this one live up as a sequel, or is it a disappointing film? You can find out in this review. Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire is directed by Gil Keenan, who co-wrote the movie alongside Jason Reitman, who directed Ghostbusters Afterlife. And stars McKenna Grace, Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, Dan Aykroyd, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Celeste O'Connor, Logan Kim, Emily Allen Lind, Bill Murray, and Ernie Hudson. The Spengler family returns to where it all started, the iconic New York City firehouse, to team up with the original Ghostbusters, who've developed a top-secret research lab to take busting ghosts to the next level. But when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters, new and old, must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning. Today I'm going to be reviewing Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire, as I've said like three times in this episode already. But this was a film that I was really interested in because I really liked, almost loved, Ghostbusters Afterlife. That film had so much heart. It had a lead character played by McKenna Grace Phoebe, who is, and I'm going to go out and say this, easily the character I've latched onto the most and connected with the most inside of this entire franchise. She was so relatable, and she felt like an actual character. And the way that film carried on the legacy of the original Ghostbusters, paid respect to Harold Ramis, I thought was very strong. But I did think it fell off the rails a little bit in the third act when it tried to basically just recreate the third act of the original Ghostbusters. But I would argue probably not as good. And while it wasn't as funny as the first movie, I just think what it aimed to do was more ambitious than what the original Ghostbusters aimed to do. And I think at the end of the day, even though plot points were repeated, that was a movie that emotionally resonated with me. And personally for me, I've never been someone who's loved the original Ghostbusters as much as movies like Back to the Future, Terminator, and other stuff from those few years in the early 80s. Because of that, I connected emotionally a lot more with Afterlife. I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a better movie than the original Ghostbusters. And I know that me even saying they're close is going to make me lose all credibility when it comes to people trusting my opinion on a Ghostbusters movie. But honestly, all of you have already seen this movie, so you might as well stick around just to hear what I have to say. And you're probably not going to listen anyways, because I would argue that personally, I actually like going back and rewatching Afterlife more than the original Ghostbusters. Again, that story really resonated with me. I just love that family. Even the story of Carrie Coon's character, I really liked that movie. But I was worried immediately when, again, it's not without its problems, but it is a very fun movie. But I also really like the original Ghostbusters. I've just never quite loved it. But as soon as Jason Reitman wasn't returning for the sequel, I was very concerned about it. And it's the only reason I left it off my most anticipated of the year, because based off how much I enjoyed Afterlife, this one would have absolutely made my top 10 most anticipated. But him not returning did get me a little worried. The trailers haven't done much to get me excited. And I was seeing the movie 3 weeks late, which didn't help to get me more excited. But I've now seen the movie, so let's talk about it and whether I think it lives up to Afterlife or falls in line with something like Ghostbusters 2, which is a pretty mediocre sequel. And the first thing that I loved about this movie, just like the previous movie, was McKenna Grace's lead character of Phoebe. She is easily the best character in any Ghostbusters movie. And I've always said this, and I'll say this again. Any character who has a legitimate arc in a franchise movie, goes through a lot, and is a relatable character, is always going to be a character that I personally prefer over just a really fun jokester. Don't get me wrong, I love the original Ghostbusters, at least the characters, Venkman, Ray, Winston, Egon, they're all great, really fun characters. But there's something about Phoebe where she's just such a relatable character who, in this movie, they actually managed to give a different arc to from the previous movie. Now, McKenna Grace is such a talented actress, and I think she's going to go on to win many, many, many Oscars, you can put that down as a prediction from me. And her, I really liked her arc in this movie. I've seen some reactions to it, but they give her a bit of a character to bounce off of. I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to give away spoilers, even though this movie's been out for like weeks now. And I thought it was when they first revealed who that was, there's a scene involving her playing chess, and I think they teased it a bit in the first movie that they could be going down this direction in the future. But I thought it was, on the one hand, a very cliche friendship story, but I do think for her character and how distant she feels, how much of an outcast she feels like because she's so nerdy and doesn't show a lot of emotions. I feel like it works so, that kind of cliche story works so well for her character, and I love the way that she grew throughout the movie. And I was really worried with the amount of characters there are in this movie, which is a huge problem, and I'll get into that a bit later, that her as the main character would get lost. That's not the case as all, at all. I do think while I wanted more of her in the movie, because she is the protagonist, and I do think she's such a strong lead character, I think she did have more of her own arc and her own journey than I expected. And by the third act, they do absolutely give her a moment to shine. I think she being the lead character of this new era of movies, that's super important. But I do think they use her story to make a few very lazy excuses to introduce the villain near the third act, but I'll get into that a bit later in the review. And going right along with her, I really like this family-oriented direction that the Ghostbusters, the franchise, the tone, but also just the focus is going. I like the Spangler family a lot. I think in the first movie, and by first movie in this case, I'm talking about Afterlife, they gave both Carrie Coon's character and McKenna Grace's character such good arcs where her mom had almost a different perspective of her granddad and also, and her, at least her dad, I guess in this case, with Egon, and had this really great story where she actually grew to accept and understand why Egon was so not around for her. And then we had Phoebe, who has felt like an outcast her whole life, and then ends up learning that her dad was not only a Ghostbuster, but also exactly like her and loved science. Now, that's such a great journey, and that's why I almost loved Afterlife. And actually, I think it's the Ghostbusters movie that I personally like going back to the most because those two journeys were so powerful. Here, it's not as character focused. The movie isn't as focused. It's more mission based. It's not as focused on, Egon has passed, and now because of that, and it doesn't quite have the emotional hook of Afterlife. But I do still think the characters and the main family we're following has a really fun dynamic, and I think all the best humor in the movie involves scenes in the first act that involve them. Paul Rudd in particular is tons of fun, but I honestly, again, like McKenna, I wish he was in the movie more. And when he is, he's super entertaining, and there's a few lines that are very cheesy and not even all that funny on paper, but Paul Rudd, with his, veteran comedic skills, sells it as he always does. And there's a bit of this through line throughout the movie about Paul Rudd and kind of his place within the family. And I did like that one individual story for Gary Gruberson in this film. And there's also a bunch of new ghosts in this movie. There's like a possessor ghost. I'm not going to get too far into this. Obviously, it would be spoilers. But I love the way they showed the effect on screen. And the villain design, which hasn't been shown in any of the trailers, although again, all of you have seen because this movie's been out for weeks, did also look extremely cool. And I think a big part of that is the blend between visual effects and practical effects. Because especially coming off watching movies like Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, which was just CGI overload to its absolute max, this film manages to find such a great blend between practical effects and CGI. And the practical effects, which personally I always gravitate towards when you're doing special effects on screen, look absolutely stunning. The puppeteering work is amazing. There aren't many shots in this movie at all. I could probably count them on one hand that genuinely looked fake in the context of a Ghostbusters movie. And I think that's pretty impressive for a franchise movie releasing in 2024 when we just had movies last year like The Flash, which had so many shots that just broke the immersion. I never really felt that with Frozen Empire, at least looking at a visual perspective. I think Gil Keenan being such a big Ghostbusters fan, co-writing the first one with Jason Reitman, and now directing this one himself with a script from him and Reitman, I think clearly wanted to stay very true to the original. I think in terms of the effects, they do that very well. And I think, again, a lot of the new ghosts are also tons of fun, and they are shown on screen very well. And I also just think in general, and I feel like I've said this about a lot of movies over the last couple of months, this movie is in every single way just a fun, inoffensive, and entertaining movie. I feel like you'd have to be pretty cynical to watch this movie and genuinely say, that was a horrible movie. I hated watching that. Even if there's tons of flaws. Like, this movie really does just aim to entertain you, aim to let you spend 2 hours with characters that are very charming, and I think it absolutely succeeds in doing that. But unfortunately, I feel like every other aspect of the movie that I haven't touched on has things about it that I really like and doesn't. And there's so many mixed elements to this movie that I almost had to break it up into sections. Because getting into the things about this movie that left me very conflicted. The first thing was, again, this was an entertaining movie, but it has so many flaws that I think it's hard to say that I walked out thinking this was like a good or great movie by any means. And I think what I'll say right off the bat is this feels the most in line with the tone of the first two movies. And while it's, again, it's very mission-based, it isn't as focused on the character arcs. And while for me, that's not quite as appealing because I've never been as big of a, you know, fan of the tone of the original movies, where I never quite got into their very, you know, jokey tone. I like the more Amblin-esque direction that Afterlife took. It has, this movie certainly has more humor than Afterlife, and I think it also has some funnier moments, although I think it does lose some of Phoebe's dry humor and very math humor, which I actually thought was pretty funny, even though it tried not to be, which is kind of interesting. This movie feels the most in line with the first two, and I think for people who have grown up with the first two movies, I think that would be great. As someone who didn't, I think that for me, this movie felt like it was missing some of the heart of Afterlife. Even though it does have a character arc for Phoebe and Mr. Gooberson or whatever, it doesn't quite have as much of a... It's not quite as meaningful to the overall story, and it doesn't quite as make as clear of a reason for why this story needed to be told. This story needed to be told, first and foremost, to have new cool ghosts. And I think if you're a fan of the first two movies, and I'm not saying I'm not, if you're someone who loves those movies, cherishes them, worships them, I think you might actually get more out of this movie than you did Afterlife. But as someone who absolutely does not, I felt a little more disconnected from this experience. And I also think that going along with that, the usage of the original characters was a pretty big mixed bag. I think that Dan Aykroyd was probably the most justified to be included in this movie. I really liked Ray in this movie. He had a legitimate reason to be here. It felt like he really cared. He's kind of playing the proud grandfather of the Ghostbusters. And there's tons of scenes with him where he's, you know, in his heyday and he wants to, you know, return to the time of Ghostbusters. And I just really connected with his character. But then I feel like some of the other OG characters they bring in here, like even Annie Potts, who's returning to play Melnitz, she really is just a cameo. And even then, while I liked Ernie Hudson and what he's doing in the movie, it felt like every scene he was in the movie, he felt very forced. It felt like there were other characters in the story that made more sense to be in his place. And Bill Murray also, they've shown in the trailers, not a spoiler to say, again, he's just here because he's a Ghostbuster and he's just an obligatory inclusion. Like, they have to include him because the other two are there. And while he absolutely does have some funny moments, more so than Afterlife, I do think that taking him out would have tightened this movie up a little bit. And I think you'll see why that's an issue later on. And I just think by this point, again, I've never quite worshipped the original movie as much as other people. I feel like now that we've had two movies and we've introduced a new group of characters that I do really like, I think it's starting to get to the point where I think it's time to move on from these characters. I think a lot of original Ghostbusters fans are going to be very annoyed to hear me say that. But I just think we've had them return so many times out, and they even made appearances in the 2016 movie. I don't really know how much more they can pull out of these guys, but we'll see as they continue on and hopefully make another one. We'll find out. There's a lot of added mythology and lore in this movie, and while there is some very, very cool, you know, history about the Ghostbusters and, or not the Ghostbusters, the ghosts, and maybe, or were there not previous people who actually did the same job the Ghostbusters do, you can find out when you go watch the movie and as they explore that. The exposition scenes are way too long and are extremely overdramatic in a way that I don't think fits this franchise and just came off a little too goofy for me to take seriously. Like, there is a scene in this movie about halfway through where we go through like 15 minutes straight of just exposition. And honestly, after about 2 minutes, because of the tone of this franchise, I really started to check out. And Gil Keenan has said that he loves scenes where characters tell stories and focus on mythology. And while I absolutely respect that, as someone who's not as, you know, I don't know every one of these ghosts. I mean, the fact that I even know Viggo from Ghostbusters 2, I would say, is pretty surprising. As someone who doesn't follow the lore of this franchise like some other franchises, I wouldn't say I got a bit lost, but I became a little disinterested after a while. And while there are some cool elements and the new, you know, ghost villain in concept I think was very cool, it just went way over the top. I mean, there's even some other scenes where we're hanging around this lab where we're introduced to a new way that these guys are going to be handling ghosts and researching into them. Those scenes I also think went on way too long. And I'm sure you've heard this when it comes to this movie, but there are way, way, way too many characters in this film. Like, I think a few right off the bat you could have cut out. Like I said, I think Bill Murray, again, I like Bill Murray as Venkman, but he, I think he should have been cut out. Trevor and Lucky, who both returned from the previous movie, even though I like the family dynamic, once again, Finn Wolfhard as Trevor pretty much has nothing to do in this movie. Lucky feels like such a weird inclusion. Like, she had to be forced into the story, and especially when you also have Podcast back. And while I liked Podcast in the first movie, I feel like both of those characters, who are basically friends of the kids of the Spengler family, the way they're both introduced and the fact that they're even both there feels like such a coincidence in a way that I just can't buy. And I think some of the new characters as well. There's one new character who's a scientist. He's an engineer who works with Winston. Again, I don't really understand why he needed to be in the movie and why another character couldn't fill his shoes, especially if you're going to bring a character like Lucky back, who's also now affiliated with them. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And even the way the back feels so cheap and lazy. And I think because there's so many characters, it became a really frustrating movie to watch. Because, well, firstly, it hurts the pacing. It makes the movie drag. And again, the OG characters, I feel like, feel shoved in there. And I think at the same time, it's also a little, again, frustrating to watch because we're constantly cutting away from storylines, ones that are more interesting to less interesting ones. For example, I really like the whole family dynamic, like I mentioned earlier, and that's very prominent in the first 20 minutes. Like Paul Rudd, he's in the movie a lot in the first 20 minutes, but then he just gets shifted to the background. It feels like a background character for the entire rest of the movie until he's needed by the screenplay. And I think it just felt more like an episode of television because of that. And I understand they're trying to recapture the real Ghostbusters animated show, where it's a very mission-based movie. But at the same time, I don't think you should, if you're doing a movie like that, you really should not overload your story with way too many characters. And I think it's disappointing because I think removing those parts are what made Afterlife special. And I think this movie just feels more by the numbers and more generic because of that. The movie also takes way too long to get going. Now, I think a big part of that is the exposition I mentioned earlier, which I do think is a pretty big problem. But like the teaser trailer they released for this movie, without going into too many spoilers, I think is completely comprised of shots from the third act. Like, I genuinely don't remember much in that teaser trailer that wasn't in the back half of this movie. And I think that's a pretty dumb way to market the movie, and especially calling the movie Frozen Empire. This is the second movie to be titled Empire released in the last month. And both of them don't really fulfill their title. And I think this movie in particular, I'll talk about the third act in just a second, is like, I feel like the setup took almost an hour and a half. It almost felt like we had an hour and a half of a first act, a minute of the second act, and then like 20 minutes of a third act. And it was such a weird structure to have for a movie. But even then, again, I just think Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman went way too off the rails with the amount of history and exposition they wanted to include in here. And I think because they wanted to spend so much time doing the setup, and because there's so much mythology, there are some very lazy story choices made towards the end of the second act, especially involving Phoebe. Now, again, I liked her arc in the movie, but where they go with stuff involving her, especially this other character she meets in this movie, and how she makes a very out-of-character decision, and they use a cliche that I pretty much hate in movies, like involving, you know, characters mistrusting others and all that. And just to set up the introduction of the villain. And I think, while again, I liked Phoebe's story, I don't think they needed to manipulate her arc and her character in a way to cause the arrival of this entity that looks very cool. But the way they did it, I think, was pretty dumb and very, again, lazy. And this almost felt to me, this entire movie, like the first draft. Now, that being said, a really good first draft of a screenplay, considering I think it had a lot of the characters right. But I do think, in terms of a lot of the jokes, felt a little undercooked. And I think at the same time, the setup went on way too long. And this would have been the type of thing where the studio notes probably would have said, like, let's get to the point a little quicker and then have more time where things are actually in motion. Because it feels like for a lot of this movie, there isn't really any stakes. And I'm not saying people go into a Ghostbusters movie for that, but there is really no urgency until like the last half an hour of the movie. And I think going along with that, I do think the third act, when things actually get going, I think is honestly pretty weak. And I think when it comes to this movie, I very much enjoyed a lot of the stuff, just the hangout vibe of a lot of the first half of this movie. But then again, it would constantly cut to other stuff I was less interested in. But the third act simultaneously managed to be anticlimactic yet overblown at the same time. Like, there's even superhero movie sky beams by the third act. And I know Ghostbusters always had those. But when you realize that the entire third act pretty much just takes place in one building, it seems kind of weird how why we're trying to stretch it out so much, and you just don't really feel the scale of it. And there's also another character introduced in the movie without saying too much, named the Fire Master. And the way that I just thought that he made the final fight extremely boring, and I also thought the performance was a bit of a mixed bag. I think it was almost too jokey of a character for the role he was playing. And again, I would have liked the resolution to be more based on the actual characters that we already loved from the first movie and less on the new characters. And I don't mean first movie in terms of the OG Ghostbusters. I just mean this family we're following. The Spengler family. That's who I want these movies to focus on. I know it sounds like I just harped on this movie pretty hard, but honestly, even with all of that, I can absolutely say that I had fun with this movie. It's entertaining. It's not, you know, aiming for like a full-on swing. It doesn't miss. It just hits a double. And I think that's all this movie really wanted to be. But at the same time, I almost feel like following Afterlife and a movie that was so emotionally impactful, I went away hoping for a little bit more. I still love Phoebe. I love the family. I love the new ghosts. I love the practical effects. But a lot of there's way too many characters in the story. A lot of the exposition scenes are very problematic and overlong. It just takes way too long to get into the actual meat of the story. And even then, to actually get there, there's a lot of really lazy script choices. And the third act feels very underwhelming. I'm going to give Ghostbusters Frozen Empire a C+. And overall, this is one where I feel like if you're a Ghostbusters fan, you've probably already seen this anyways. But in general, I would recommend you wait to rent this when it hits home video. It's not a movie I don't even think you need to rush out to see in theaters. But I do think on a nice Sunday afternoon, it could be a fun movie to watch. And I don't think this movie is going to provide much more than that. It's not going to get you as emotionally invested as Afterlife, especially if you're not a huge Ghostbusters fan. And I think this movie is a fun movie that, again, you could watch eventually, but I don't think is one you need to go out and see right now, especially in a season where we're starting to get into some very cool movies releasing in theaters. I think there's a lot more coming out this summer that's going to be more interesting than this movie. But hey, I could be wrong. And what did you guys think of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? Make sure to let me know. Let me know what your favorite Ghostbusters movie is in the poll section over on Spotify. Thank you for listening, as always. I will catch you all next time. Bye-bye.